Christian Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor and
Rob McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secret of Spirit Communication, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our newest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science Stories and Research. Trish's latest novel is White Crows, and Rob's is called Tulpas. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you don't miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts, so please subscribe there.
Okay, our guest today is Selina Maitreya, who's a lecturer, author, and spiritual teacher. She's the creator of The Clarion Call, an online conference of spiritual teachers. She is a founding member of the Manhattan Holistic Chamber of Commerce and a past board member of the Boston Theosophical Society. She is the author of Raise Your Frequency Transformation, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, How to Respond with Love to Life's Difficulties. She lives in Arlington, Massachusetts. Welcome, Selina.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back with you guys.
Yeah. It's wonderful to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we get into talking about the energetic alchemy, I was looking at your website and something caught my attention. I'd like, if we could start with this question, I think this is something a lot of people are dealing with. And how do we deal with the chaos of the everyday world and not let it pull us down? I mean, that's something that I think a lot of people are dealing with.
What a mighty task, Rob.
A simple question, right?
Let's get right into the big stuff here, right? So no small start. It is a really important question because we are living in unprecedented times. We're living in a time where so many of us, even those of us who have worked for years to move in the energies of positive vibration and love, are being challenged. People come all the time and they ask me, what can I do? I write checks, I volunteer, I serve, but what can I do in these times? And the first thing I always ask is, where is your consciousness? Do you have steps put in place to watch how you move through the world? Are you placing yourself in receivership, meaning receivership, not of other people necessarily supporting you and helping you, which is always a part of receivership, but where are you in connection to the energy of the divine within you? Are you receiving the divine? Are you in a place consciously where you have a connection with the divine within? Because as we all develop a connection and a relationship with the high frequency within us, we become that high frequency. And as we become that high frequency, because we're energetic projectors and receivers, we're projecting out the high frequency that's represented and created in that relationship with the divine, and we're able to bring it in more. So quite honestly, the best thing people can do is to develop a relationship with the divine within and to have that energy project out and bring in energy that's like energy. That's the first most important thing. I mean, think about it. If people took the time and the effort to develop that relationship and that energy was being projected out into the world, we probably wouldn't be where we are today. So it really is.
So we need more people doing this, like a mass.
Well, we need to start ourselves, because a lot of people who come here, Trish, you know, really good people, and they're interested in learning how to bring energy in, how to create peace in their lives. What they're not realizing is it really comes from the relationship we have with the divine. So it starts with us. And then, right, the more we are enlightened, the more the world has light. So it starts with each and every one of us.
Sometimes I feel like the divine has has left, you know, the world, the consciousness of the world. There's, you know, not what I mean? There's an emptiness.
You know, you can say that. And it's like when somebody, you know, I understand why you would say that. But I don't believe that's it at all. You know, I'm a channel. And I've channeled the divine for over 20 years. And when I first became a channel, I asked, well, who is this? What is this? It was totally by surprise, surprised me. And I was told, when I asked, what is this energy that is channeling through me? I was told it was the energy of oneness, the energy of God that, mm-hmm. that created us all. So
How do you receive that information? Is it like a voice or?
Really interesting. No, it's not a voice, but it's what I would call knowings. When I feel connected 24/7 at this point in my relationship. So I feel like all of my words, even now, are being directed by Source. And I'm guided. When I go into state to have spirit channel through me for a student, I feel as if I'm parking my ego and personality in the back of my body, and Source comes through and literally speaks through me in a voice then. Mm-hmm. But as I move through the world, as I'm talking to you now, that's not necessarily my experience. It's seamless. It's fluid. So directed now. And then there are times I'm in quiet that I just receive what I call, as I said, knowings that are landed. For instance, it could be as simple as this. In 2012, living in my house with my kids, cooked dinner every night, was in the process of cooking dinner in my kitchen, moved from the counter to the refrigerator. And I'll never forget this. It was pivotal. And Spirit said six words: it's time to sell your house. That was it. Hadn't been thinking about selling my house. I mean, the big picture was that I was a single mom. I knew I'd sell it when my kids went off, but I wasn't thinking about it then. And so I said, well, look, you know, I'm cooking dinner. I'll get back to you later. and I did. And I went into state, and then the rest, you know, transpired after that. So sometimes it can land like that, as a knowing that just lands completely. We were talking about, before you asked that question, we were talking about, I forget. Where were we on that? Does anybody remember? Shall we just move forward?
Move forward. We were the energetic alchemist.
Yeah. No, we were talking about, you know, how we feel like we get pulled down by the chaos in the world. And responding to that. Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah.
So the idea being that developing our own relationship with the divine is important. And then watching, the next step would be watching how we move through the world, mm-hmm. and noticing where we're not able to carry high vibration. Because this is not about, you know, I think we said this in our last conversation, this isn't about rainbows and unicorns. It's not that we're supposed to always be positive. It's about the fact that we get to observe how we walk in the world, and we get to notice the places where we're out of alignment with the energy of love. And then we get to use tools and exercises to shift back into that frequency, because it's helpful for us and it's helpful for all. Our moment to moment, our next moment is created from what landed the moment before, from the energy we're holding from what landed. So when chaos lands, if we notice it and we shift our frequency immediately, which is what the work is all about, then our next moment is able to be created from high frequency. Things can't be created from chaos, mm-hmm. but they're created from high frequency.
Oh, I'm curious. Yeah. After you heard that voice, say, sell your house, how long was it before you sold the house?
The next year, I took a year wow. for us to work with a real estate agent. And I contacted my real estate agent the next day. And then we started the process, which takes a year to, you know, get it on the market. Uh-huh. And it was sold. Hmm. It was sold within a day.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, Selena, I think what I'm interested in is finding out how to be able to shift your energy in the moment to avoid being triggered into an emotional reaction. I mean, that's what tends to happen to me. And, you know, I think I have reason to act that way, but it's important to, you know, not just blow up at people and, you know.
Well, it doesn't happen before the emotional reaction. What happens is our emotions with this work, our emotions are used differently. We're conditioned in this world and society and our family. Many of us are conditioned to respond to chaos with more of the same. You know, somebody comes you up on the road when you don't normally bless them. So our tendencies as human beings is to take on whatever landed and respond in that same frequency. So with this work, to answer your question, when difficulty arises, instead of having that same, you know, responding back from the same frequency, when we see our emotional state, as you said, triggered, that moment becomes an alert. An alarm, if you will, to remind us, oh, I have choice. Choice. Mm-hmm. Big, beautiful word. I have choice. And in that moment of choice, you then can use one of the many practices that I teach, one of which is breath of life, which is the easiest because mm-hmm. the breath never leaves and it costs us nothing but our willingness to engage. And the breath of life, very easy to share, is a very simple practice where you just stop. And if you can close your eyes, you do. If you can't, it's no problem. But you just gently close your lips and breathe in and out through your nose, long, slow, and deep with your attention on the breath. And you do it for 5 minutes and you allow any thoughts to come and go without any attachment because your attention is on the breath. And when you come out of the 5 minutes, I have absolutely never had anybody who hasn't felt their state shifting. Mm-hmm. In fact, Rob, when I submitted my manuscript to Inner Traditions, and I had a conversation with John, their acquisitions editor, one of the things he said to me was, Selena, I've had your manuscript for a week now, and I've been a Buddhist for 30 years, and I've been here. Traditions for just about that long. And he said, and I can't get rid of my monkey mind, but I used your breath of life and it's gone.
Huh.
So that's one of the reasons that my book is published.
Well,
and
it's
an effective process.
Suppose you're face to face with somebody and you say, excuse me, I got to close my eyes and breathe for five.
You don't have to close. You just breathe. See, Trish, this is the beauty, darling. You don't need to close your eyes. If you can, it's great. But I have done this so many times. I had to be in a negotiation with my biggest competitor when I was a photography consultant. And I was brain injured. This was after my car event. And he and I had a great relationship. I knew him to be a fierce negotiator. And I had to negotiate a sale of a product. And a lot was counting on this because I wasn't working. And I knew I had to get this done. Mm-hmm. And I was severely brain injured. And I was sitting there doing breath of life the entire time. And it kept bringing me back to focus. It wasn't emotional as much as it's also a focusing.
Right.
So, so you can do it while you're sitting with somebody. In the beginning, it's good to practice it when you don't need something that like a negotiation or a big discussion. But once you get the hang of it, which is pretty quick, because we breathe all the time. And this is such an exquisite example of the tools we have within us. Now, people know about breath, but people do breathing practices all the time. But this specific way and this usage of noticing when you're triggered, as Rob said, and then choosing to use that as an alert to remind you to go to breath, it's seamless. Nobody's seeing you do it. You can do it easily and easily, and it changes your state.
Huh. Yeah, I've been using a breathing exercise to lower blood pressure. I visited the doctor recently, and my blood pressure is like 160, and I've never had high blood pressure in my life. So I started using this method where you inhale to the count of four through your nose and hold it for the count of seven, and then exhale through your lips to the count of eight, and just feel that yourself sinking down, relaxing. And boy, did that work. I mean, I had to back off from it because I got down to 114 over 57, which is, wow, you got low blood pressure.
Very effective you were. Yeah, right. You know, Spirit has said so many times to me and to my students, and I love this, the breath is the physical manifestation of the soul. They have said that when you were born and the breath comes in the body, and you breathe out your first breath, you're considered alive. And what is the last thing that leaves when the body is still on the table is the breath. So the breath, if we think about this for a moment, when we sit with this, the breath being the physical manifestation of the soul, and we are multidimensional beings with bodies and physical bodies and brains and emotional bodies and intellectual bodies and our egoic energy field, the low frequency, our personality, our history, all these moving parts. But to be able to call on the physical manifestation of our soul that keeps the body going and is now the tool that can calm the entire system down and lower your blood pressure, Rob. I don't know that it gets any better.
Yeah. Right.
Tell the doctor that.
Yes, and it costs us nothing. And it's all with us. That's what I love. I always laugh when people tell me they're using breathing apps. And I think, oh, well, okay, that's fine. That's good. You just sat there and practiced the breath of life because it's just so easy. You know, sometimes, people aren't aware of what keeps us alive as something that has other purposes as well.
Interesting.
My doctor mentioned that this is a problem with people going into medical offices, that their blood pressure often goes up.
But it's called a white coat syndrome.
Yeah. But you think, you know, the healing process, going to a healer, it should make you feel better, not more tense. But, you know,
Well, maybe it's, you know, there's a lot of other things that go into it. You know, it's getting there, all the stuff, getting the parking, getting all of the things that can tense us up. Plus, if you're concerned, plus if you've not had a great experience with the office, you know, there's so much in life. And back to your initial, you know, question and point, there's so much happening in our world. And we are consistently asked, this is so curious to me, we are consistently asked over and over again to do so much more all at once. You know, picture in picture in TV and people talking on their phone while they're driving, going to a drive-through and then leaving the drive-through, eating, you know, talking. And, you know, there's all of these things and people are multitasking, which is not a calming experience and doesn't enable them to be present. So that comes into play as well.
Yeah, with this breathing, isn't that part of alchemy? You change.
Yes. Well, you know, that's a really interesting question because alchemy is the science and the magic, if you will, of changing one element into another. Mm-hmm. And when Spirit came through just a few months ago and they said to me in one of these knowings, Rob, where they just landed another piece of truth inside of me. And what they said was, Selena, you are not sharing with people that when they take on this work, they become energetic alchemists. And I was like, I mean, talk about an aha moment. This blew me right out the water. I loved the phrase and I got it because what they said afterwards, they said, you know, years ago, magicians would study and learn and raise their frequency to be able to change coal into diamonds. Mm. And then they were looking to change physical states. Now the evolution is such that you're being asked to change energetic states. Mm-hmm. And so you're becoming energetic alchemists when you take on the work. And I have always been so clear, this is work, to be able to learn to shift, to be aware, first of all, of how you walk in the world. That's a piece of work. Witnessing as you be versus just plowing through the world doing without any awareness or very limited awareness, moment to moment of how you be. That's a big piece of work. And then once you're aware of how you are, to take on these many tools in the book that I share and to practice them and to know which one you want to use, and then to consciously choose to notice your emotional moment or notice the low frequency showing up through your thoughts or your actions, and then choosing to shift. Three steps, you know, the witnessing as you be, choosing to shift your energy and actually doing it. Those are the steps that are required, and they become easy as breath over time. But in the beginning, like yoga, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when I started yoga 30 years ago, it was the most awkward thing in the world for me. I couldn't get my body to move the right way. I didn't know what people were talking about because saying it was so peaceful. And it took me months before I could get my body to do it. And now I love it. So this is work, but it's holy work, and it's accessible work, and it makes a big difference. And we become energetic alchemists because we shift the energy. It's huge. It's really huge work. I love it.
That's fascinating.
About yoga, I was a yoga teacher and meditation teacher for 27 years.
Were you?
Before the pandemic came along. And one of the
Rob, talking to your mic.
Okay, sorry. I'm looking the other way. And one of the things I used to say, go to the downward facing dog now and consider this a relaxing position. People say, this is not relaxing, you know. But after you've done it for a while and you're doing, you know, more, you know, advanced moves, it gets to be the point that, going back into the downward facing dog does, you know, actually become that.
That's why dogs do it all the time.
I think that's a great point. And that, so you see what I'm saying is that, As with anything in the third dimensional world, when we go to use free weights, if we haven't used a free weight in years, it's not hard to do. But when you're done with it, your muscles the next day are killing you. And then over time, they're not bothered at all. So anything we do new in the third dimensional world involves a bit of effort. It involves consistency. And down the line, it always becomes a lot easier.
Yeah.
Have you written about energetic alchemy?
I have not because...
Well, you got to get started, Selena.
This book is all about energetic alchemy.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because when you write a book and you submit it to a publisher, and this is my third book, my other books were written for my past career, but they were published by some mighty publishers as well. I was fortunate. And when you write a book, you have a title, and then the publisher says, well, not so sure, let's come up with another one, or we love the title, right? Mm-hmm. So the title of this book, before it came in our traditions, was Monks Without Monasteries, How Ordinary People Live Extraordinary Lives.
Oh, I liked that.
I did too. But my publisher was absolutely correct. It's not as crisp and as much of an example of what's in the book as this title.
Uh-huh.
But I would love to have written a book, The Energetic Alchemist. So, you know, maybe a future book.
Yeah, that's magical. I like that whole term.
So, Selena, how do you distinguish your own thoughts from the thought coming to you from higher energy, higher sources?
Mike, Rob.
Sorry.
Well, here it's a great question. When I have a thought, I'm thinking, I'm sitting, I'm dwelling, I'm in a conversation with somebody, I'm reading a book, I'm sitting down to do an act, I'm choosing what I'm doing, and I'm deliberate about it, right? Mm-hmm. When spirit comes in for another person, for instance, I'm in state. So their message is really clear because I've put myself back into my body and they come through. When I'm just on my own, it's, as I said, it's so seamless because I'm connected 24/7. So when I'm in the process of doing something and they come in with new information, like here I am moving from my counter to the refrigerator, not thinking about selling my house, and they come in with a message, it's time to sell your house. And I have the connection so complete with Source, it lands as a truth, as a knowing. So whenever something lands in my body and I haven't been applying myself to that, then I know I'm divinely guided. Now, we have lots of moments through the day that people now think are thoughts, but it's divine guidance. But people don't have the awareness of divine guidance, or they don't believe it. And so they just think, oh, that's a thought. But I would tell you that a lot of what people think are thoughts are guidance. And when you do this work and you start to learn how to watch yourself and as you be, how to witness as you be, and you consciously work to change your energy, you're building your relationship with the divine within. And as you build that relationship, it becomes very clear what is a knowing that's landed by the divine, what those thoughts are. And then you start to go, oh my gosh, look at all these years that I've just lumped everything together in thought, because we're not told that we are divine beings. In fact, many religions tell us we're not God. God is outside of us. But the God that I know is inside of me and all around me. Mm-hmm. The energy doesn't have boundaries, right? And so energy is. And when we welcome that energy, we welcome a relationship with the energy that's already there, and we consciously cultivate it, it becomes very clear what is a knowing.
How does somebody know they're ready for this type of work?
Good question. You guys always have such good questions.
I'm trying to get ready.
What was that?
I'm trying to get ready, so tell me.
I don't know that people always do know that they're ready. Some people come here very clearly. I've been watching you. I've read your book. I've been reading your articles. I'm on your YouTube channel. You know, I've come onto your community meditations, because I do free. This year, we're doing 24 free community meditations of different kinds throughout the year. So people
on YouTube?
No, they're actually by invitation. So when people join on my website, they're given notices. I send out newsletters once a month. And there's a specific teaching in the newsletter, and then there's notices about the monthly community meditations. So people just go to practicalspiritualitywithselena.com and sign into the newsletter and those notices. Okay. So people say, you know, I've been watching, and I just really need to talk. I'm really ready to take on this work. And they come and they have two meetings with me, and if they want to move on, then they do. But there are a lot of people who come because they've been referred by somebody and they're going through a difficult time, or somebody has had a loss and they were referred to me if they haven't known me before. And they come because of that one situation. And when they come, they're so intrigued and amazed at what they experience that they want more. And then if they stay at some point, it's a beautiful thing to see when spirit catches someone, when they realize, oh my God, there's this whole part of me that is there that I haven't even developed yet. I can't wait. So that would be my answer.
Well, suppose somebody loses a child, which how do you counsel somebody who's lost a child, for instance?
I have. And it is... it is a holy experience. It depends on the counseling itself, has everything to do with the situation. I will go into state, and spirit will speak through me to the student. There's a beautiful practice they have given me if the student wants, and I've taken a few students through this practice. I had a wonderful, wonderful woman I worked with when I lived in Woodstock, whose son died from an overdose, and it had been very recent, and she was very, obviously, and still to this day, many years later, misses him dearly. But they gave me a beautiful practice that I have taken her through and others, which is called experiencing loss through joy. Mm-hmm. And that practice, because you see, when part of our conditioning is to experience loss through lack, which in the third dimensional world makes total sense. This person is no longer there. We don't have their physical body to interact with. There's this huge sense of loss. But there's an opportunity for us to experience who they were and all of their amazing traits and experiences we had with them. And this, and through this practice, I take the student through all of those moments so that what they're doing is they're experiencing the loss of this relationship or this person, but they're experiencing it through a higher frequency energy of love. And when we experience it through love, we're not left more bereft. We're left given a moment of reprieve, even if it's just for the moments of the practice. And the more and more people take this on, the more they have the experience of the beauty of the person and of the wonderful moments they shared versus the loss of what's
It's interesting. In your practice, does synchronicity play a role?
Oh my gosh, I love synchronicity. Synchronicity is flow. Synchronicity is love. I'll give you a great example. When I came out of the movie theater in April after watching the movie about Mother Cabrini, the first American saint, my body was vibrating in a way that I knew something big was coming. And when I went home, I went into meditation and spirit told me that my book, which was coming out in June, it hadn't come out yet, was just the tip of the iceberg. They said, you are on a mission. And the mission you are on is to take this work of teaching people what I'll say now, how to be energetic alchemists, how to transform low frequency in their life and respond to any difficulty from love. Your job is to get this all over the country and all over the world. And you have to reach out to spiritual centers. You have to create an all-day workshop and a weekend experience of a night before the workshop, a celebration of consciousness, an all-day workshop, and you're to do this for free. You're to find spiritual centers. You're to offer this to spiritual centers that can support a weekend like this. And they are to set the price for this workshop, and they get to keep it so that these works, these spiritual centers can move forward. But they have to have a night before where you come in and share breath of life and teach people about how to change low frequency into high for nothing, so that people that can't afford to come to the workshop can get something from the night before. So this was created in synergy so that people who can't afford can come the night before. People who can afford and want to dig deeper get to come to the event. People can buy books the night before. And then what happens is you, Selena Maitreya, follow up with all the students the week after to provide them even more service, because nobody wants to go to a workshop and go, oh my God, that was so great, but what do I do now?
Yeah.
Follow up a week later and help them to find their next step. And then you can introduce yourself as a teacher and see if they want to work with you. So my piece of synchronicity comes at the very end. So there you go. I love that.
Interesting.
I think it's just fabulous. You can have synergy, synchronicity, all comes together.
I mentioned you to a woman in Casadega. I think we talked about this before. And I've got to get in touch with her this week, so I'm going to remind her. Listen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep.
They'd love you there.
Thank you so much. I would love that. I'm heading out to San Diego to the Universal Spirit Center in March, the first week of March. We've been working on this for a year to do a week there. We've already done this at the Hope Interfaith Center in Mankato, Minnesota last June. I'm also going back to Minneapolis for another center in May So we're moving forward.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. I take the word of, you know, when Spirit asks me to do something, I always say yes. And then we figure out how to do it.
Huh. That is pretty cool.
I came across an interesting definition for synchronicity, a little different take, but I really like it. It says synchronicity is the organizing principle of life, the path of least resistance.
Say that again, please.
Synchronicity is the organizing principle of life, the path of least resistance.
Nice. And wouldn't that be true? Because in order to be in synchronicity, you have to invoke the highest within you. I mean, it's a high frequency act. We can't be synchronistic, and people aren't synchronistic when they're in chaos, right? When they're in low frequency. So it is an act of the soul. Mm-hmm. It's an act of the soul. I love that.
Who said that, Bob?
Bashar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've never gone to one of his sessions. I've had people send me clips of him, and then somebody recently sent me a whole hour, 15-minute documentary about him. So I didn't really know anything about his past and who he was. I just knew he was this guy who was supposedly in contact with some being from 400 years in the future, something like that. And, it's a really fascinating documentary.
Spirit has always said to me, Rob, that synchronicity is the third dimensional world's explanation for faith and action.
Mm-hmm.
That what we call synchronicity, what third dimensional beings call synchronicity, is indeed the actual connection to the divine within activated. And so as beings come into communion, an active communion with the soul level, they begin to experience moments in the third dimensional world that seem magical. Mm-hmm. And indeed, what's happening is the activation of the soul, so that what seems magical, just like what you were saying about yoga before with the downward dog, where once before it was difficult and then it became easy. As you begin to activate and create this relationship with the soul, these moments appear and seem, oh my God, it's so magical. Yes. I'm thinking of my friend, and then she called, become moment to moment and daily events.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, over time, yes, they'll always be special, but they don't become so infrequent. They're much more frequent. So the more we commune and activate the soul, the more we are connected to the universal flow. And so things are easier and are very surprising to some people, but over time become very, you know, very usual. So it is really an activation of the soul.
Yeah, in synchronicity, it's like if you're focusing on something, the coincidences seem to pop up. And it doesn't matter what the subject is. Should I tell this one, Trish?
Yeah, I like this. It's funny.
Okay. So yesterday, we were at the dog park, and I asked, so we're in Wellington, which is the equestrian center in
South Florida
for equestrian and polo stuff. People come here from all over the world in the winter. So anyhow, there was an equestrian, a rider sitting with us with her dog. I asked, "Oh, what do they do with all the manure?"
The mic.
The mic is right here.
Yeah, talk to it.
Yeah. So what do they do with all the manure? All these horses, they must really produce a lot. And so there was a little discussion about that. And that led to a discussion of the origins of the word shit. And one person had this very strange answer that the S-H-I-T had a each of the letters had a meaning, and it related to
some obscure thing.
Yeah, some obscure thing with the transportation of material in boats from ancient times. Anyhow, so but I had known of another explanation or definition, you know, that goes back to England and Netherlands and Germany, all have similar words that have been adapted over time. So that happened. And then 2 hours later, we all met again at a restaurant. And so what did we see? We sit down at this table and look up, and there's a sign above the bar that says "Manure Happens." Now, how what's the likelihood of a sign like that, you know, appearing in a restaurant, you know?
Well, it's all energy. That's the whole, that's the beauty of it, is that you're tapping into higher frequency energy, which is what I call the higher octave. And believe it or not, higher frequency energy, which is inside of us and around us all the time, when you're tapping into it, you know, you're tapping into it and you're activating it, and it shows up. And it doesn't show up all the time, or sometimes it does and we don't see it. Yeah. So that's the beauty of it. It's all about energy. And that's the language. Energy, I have learned, is a language. And I have become fairly proficient at it after all these years. And I say that because I couldn't have walked into that before. And now I can. And what I love about being able to walk into that is it's a whole other world that's opened up. Because when you start to work with energy, which is what this whole energetic alchemist is that we love so much, that phrase, it's really like learning any other language. Mm-hmm. I walk into a room now. I walk into a restaurant. I went out the other night with a friend of mine to a play in Cambridge. I live close to Cambridge. And we walked into this restaurant, and the first thing I did was like, wow, the energy here is so really calm. Like normally you walk into restaurants and it's loud and it's boisterous and it's way too much for me. But this was like, wow, this place was chill. And that was the very first thing I noticed. And you could still smell the smells from the kitchen, and you could see all the people and the decor. And that's what I would have noticed in the past. I would have noticed the decor because I love, I'm just a very visual, tactile woman. I would have loved the smell because I love food. But what I walked in was like the energy. And so tuned to something like that, that's what happens. But it's all energy. And when we become attuned to energy, we learn a whole other level of reference and tools that are invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the question is how you use this manure thing.
it's about awareness.
Yeah, it's about awareness.
And and consciousness. And so it was all like we all recognized it immediately. Yeah. It's like one of the persons said, well, we're just kind of continuing our conversation.
Right. And I would look at that and go, wow, isn't that fabulous? Thank you, universe. More of that. Please,
it's like And it's like a trickster thing, too. You know, it has a sense of humor with it as well.
Well, I think the divine has a great sense of humor. I do. And, you know, I wanted to can I circle back to something that we were talking about before?
Sure.
The whole idea of the difficulty that's going on today, there's a higher octave purpose to it. And I think it's really important for people to understand that when I sat with the Mayan elders in New York City in 2012. Remember 2012 when everybody was freaking out over what happened because of the Mayan prophecies?
Right.
So I just happened to have this opportunity. There were only 12 of us in the room, which I was shocked at, but these lovely elder teachers from the Mayan elders were there to talk about it. And they said to us that we had it all wrong. They said there's nothing going to happen that's going to be disastrous. And obviously they were correct because we're all still here. The importance of 2012 was that there were going to be more people of consciousness on our planet than ever before, because the nature of what was happening was that we were coming to a tipping point and there were going to be a lot more people of consciousness on the planet. And if we look at the trajectory of consciousness on this planet, I'm about to be 70 in March. And when I was a little girl, my dad's best friend was a man named Eddie O'Neill. And whenever we went to see Eddie once a year, you always whispered, he's a chiropractor. 60 years ago, a chiropractor was like a witch doctor.
Right.
We have yoga studios on every corner. People weren't meditating. They weren't using the words energy and frequency in advertising like they are now. There was not a consciousness the way there is now.
Mm-hmm.
And even from 2012 to now, it's very, very different in terms of the consciousness that's on this planet. So I said to them at that meeting, to the Mayan elders, well, that is great news. Does that mean life is going to get easier? And they laughed. And they just the opposite. They said, what you have to remember is the yin-yang side.
Uh-huh.
They said, you can't draw a yin without already creating a yang. So that as we create more light, there is more dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dark needs light. Light needs dark. So there will always be those energies. And the more energy of light, the more energy of dark. So what we are seeing today with all of the extreme right, the tipping toward the fascism, what's happening in this country, which is just cray cray, we are seeing that as a response to all the light that's coming. Now, we have choice. As with everything in our world, we have choice as to where we put our attention. And this is one of the things that people of the light can do in these days. Outside of becoming more conscious themselves, we can choose to understand that all of the craziness that's going on there is going on, but there is all the light as well. And we can choose where we put our attention, because what we put our attention on grows, everybody's attention. So when we put our attention on serving, when we put our attention on holding a door for somebody, when we put our attention on meditating, on getting conscious of creating goodness in this world, this matters more than ever. It is not inconsequential. It is highly consequential. And so at this time, as light beings, as people who care about other people, whether you define yourself as a light bearer or not, if you're a person who believes in goodness, then you start looking at where you're creating light. And it doesn't need to be in big ways. You don't have to write books and hold lectures. You can do small things every day in the world. And that way we get to create more light, because that's the only way we get to equal out the balance.
I
remember years ago, my dad said, it was when the internet was still young, and he lived with us for a while. And he said, "What? Why don't people have blogs or, you know, websites about all the good stuff that's going on?" I said, "Probably because they're afraid nobody will read it." You know, I don't know, but I mean, I think that's the kind of thing you're addressing.
Yes, and it could be something that takes up that much time in it. But it can also be small things.
Right.
But I think you're right. I mean, newspapers are now, the Boston Globe, the New York Times, on their newsletters, they have the good news that you can sign up for now. So I think things are getting so tough and tight that people are looking for exactly what your dad mentioning back then. But it's really the acts we take. And it's not only the goodness we create, but it's making sure we do no harm and trying to not add to the universal pool of oneness, because oneness, the energy that channels through me, is an energy. It's a field of energy, and it is everywhere. And everything we do, because oneness is within us and we are energy in form. We're just a form here now, but what's inside the form is the energy. Every act we take goes into the field. So as we don't create more harm, not only are we not creating, adding to the negativity of the field, we're adding to the positivity. So it's very important that small things in our life are considered. Even a smile to somebody you meet on a path, you know, having kind words to somebody, And we're not able to do that 100% of the time because we're in human form, and that's understandable. But we're able to make the effort 100% of the time.
Real quick, this disembodied voice of John. My favorite one to do is if you go to whatever grocery store you go to or whatever, watch and see if somebody's done loading their groceries and grab the buggy for them and take it back.
That's my
favorite one. Yep.
I love that. I've never heard that and I've never seen that.
That's great. That's
lovely. Yeah, that's absolutely lovely.
Okay, John, you got to get down here. Publix needs your help.
Just something to think about.
So, that's interesting.
So, Selena, you mentioned that the Mayans said that even though things are more uplifted, we're more at a higher level now than in the past, things are not necessarily going to be easier. And that reminded me of a quote I used to use in my meditation classes. Before I was enlightened, I chopped wood and carried water. Now that I'm enlightened, I chop wood and carry water.
Yep, love that. Absolutely love that. Yeah, absolutely love that.
That was not referenced to me, but to a monk who said that.
The only water I've seen you carry water is from the pool.
Does he chop wood?
Yeah, actually he does, but when it gets cold enough here. So
yeah. I miss my wood stove. I do. I used to have a wood stove and a fireplace, and the wood stove. I just love the smell of wood.
Yeah, I do too.
Selena, are there steps that one goes through in the process of learning how to become an energetic alchemist?
There are. I think as we were sharing earlier, and I'll put it into this context, the first thing, you know, an energetic alchemist is a person who has taken on the work of choosing to be in high vibration, to develop a relationship with the divine within, which is how we build the high vibration and bring it into our world. And the very first step is to learn how to be aware of how you move through the world. Where are the places you're most vulnerable to not being able to be in high frequency? Which means, who are the people in your life? What are the relationships that you find more challenging? What are the situations you might find yourself in? Is it driving on the roads? Is it waiting in a doctor's office? For me, it was always waiting online to speak to people about some issue. And that was where I was most vulnerable. It represented disrespect to me when I had to sit there forever. And then I realized, oh, disrespect. That means it's my ego. That's my ego is coming in. That's where I have to go. So it's noticing the relationships, the situations that we're in where we're not able to hold high vibration, so that as we're coming into those situations, we can be on alert to watch out for them. But it's watching how we be as we do. And then the next step as we accomplish that is to learn all of the different tools and techniques that are shared in my book, Raise Your Frequency, Transform Your Life, so that you have them in your front pocket as easy, and you could pull them out as easy as pie. Because they're very easy to use, very easy to learn. And then the third step is to actually to be able to make the choice to use them. Because what happens is the ego is so powerful. You know, we're conditioned to believe we are our thinking mind or our pain of the ego or our emotional body. And in this work, what happens is over time, the high frequency is accessed, our intuitive body, our soul level is accessed so often in response when we see that we are indeed in low frequency. You know, we've had our awareness, our emotional body starts going crazy. That's our alert to allow us to alert us that we need to shift our frequency. If our thoughts are overactive and we want to slow down, we need to shift our frequency. So where we go with this work, from feeling like we are our pain, we are our thoughts, we are our emotion, and having no understanding that we have an intuitive body, over time, we go to being a person, a life stream, if you will, that has an emotional body that alerts us that we're out of the energy of love. And we go, oh, okay, time to shift. We have fear comes in. The ego comes in. We see that, oh my God, I feel disrespected. And it's like, oh, alert. There's the ego. Time to shift. So the ego becomes flight or fight. It reduces and it doesn't come in anymore unless I'm about to put my hand on the stove or I'm about to take my foot off a curb in New York City and I haven't right. And then the thinking mind just comes in to work out the details of what the divine directs us to do. So this process of being an energetic alchemist completely shifts the way all the processes work so that we're divinely guided. We hear the guidance, we experience it, we listen to it, then we engage the brain when it needs to work out details. The emotional body tells us when we're out of alignment with the intuitive, and we become peaceful. So it's a complete shift of the way we walk through the world.
Sometimes, like today, I was in the grocery store getting groceries. I was at the fish counter. And the guy, I've never met somebody behind the fish counter like this guy. He comes up, hey, he says, how's it going? Oh, I love your earrings. What can I get for you? This guy was so enthusiastic. I thought, wow, what did he eat this morning? But that's just how he interacts with people, you know? And I think that's what you're talking about. Somebody who, I mean, he was very personable and kind and, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think that kind of energy is really nice. And sometimes a high frequency person can show up as somebody who's very quiet and kind and does small moments that people don't even notice unless it's directed at them, right? Uh-huh. So our expression can be very positive, as you said, and very outgoing. Mm-hmm. But it can look different with different people. Uh-huh. I have a friend, my friend Jenny, who's one of my oldest friends. You know, when I lived across the street from Jenny, we raised our kids together for 20 years. I had a very long walkway to my house, very, very long. And I'd go off on a trip because I was lecturing all over the country 150 times in 10 years, right? And every time I came home, like in the winter, Jenny would go out there before I came home and my mail was on the table, my newspapers were on the table, and she had carved, like we used to get 3 to 4 feet of snow. She would carve a tiny little walkway from the driveway to the door so I could get in the house.
That's really nice.
Right? That to me is that quiet. And Jenny is a very quiet person, but she does these lovely little things for people to make life easy. So there's all kinds of ways to be a positive person from the gentleman we're talking about to my friend Jenny. But the idea is that we inhabit that energy and we have a commitment to it over time.
So when we're going through these steps for becoming an energetic alchemist, could this include initiating kundalini energy in our bodies as a part of that process? Is there a relationship between this energetic alchemy and kundalini energy?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and I don't know the answer. You tell me. Now, you're the yogi here. I'm not the yogi. What do you think? What does that look like?
Well, that energy has to be controlled when it comes up from the base of the spine. And some people can't handle it, and they have it. They kind of go off on tangents, and so it's a matter of being aware of it and controlling it. But it allows you to develop abilities that you didn't have before.
What kind of tangents?
Mental illness.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't sure which what you're referring to.
I mean, for temporary, that can happen through kundalini energy that comes very fast for people who are not prepared for what it is.
Well, this energy of the divine that we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting. It's within all of us. It's God energy. And when we experience it, you know, because people experience this energy all the time, we're talking about a very specific way of becoming aware of it, of choosing to access it, of choosing to actualize it and activate it in our lives. And I haven't heard of any experiences where people needed to be trained in how to respond from love. But what we do here, the training, is when we want to change our third dimensional way of responding to difficulty with that frequency. So interesting question, and I don't have an answer for you. And I'm always fine about saying I don't have an answer for you, but it's a very intriguing question.
Yeah. So is this whole method, another thing off on the tangent here, similar to mindfulness, meditation, visualization, is that all aspects of this process, or can it be?
Well, I would say that visualization is a practice that we use, but Source says when you're doing visualization, you're simply accessing the high frequency within you. When we meditate, what do we do in meditation? We seek to connect to the divine within us. That's where we go, and right? That's what meditation is, connecting to the divine within us and letting go of the thoughts. So what we do with this work of raising your frequency and transforming your life and becoming an energetic alchemist in the process, and I said that for our Trish who loves the name again, what we're doing is we're taking that same energy that we, that same energy that we visualize through, the same energy that we go to when we meditate, we're bringing it into our daily life. That's what's so powerful and different about this work. It's what you do when you come off the mat. It's what you do when you come off the pillow. It's wonderful to meditate. It's wonderful to do yoga. I love those practices. But if in my everyday life, I was a jerk when I came out of and I didn't care about my consciousness, then the only person I'm serving is me in that moment. And I'm not serving the world, and I'm not showing up as the divine as the divine of who I am. So who we pray to, what we meditate with, is exactly the same energy, the energy of the divine that we're bringing into the everyday world. We're choosing to bring it into third dimensional reality. We're saying to the conditioning that we've been given, sorry, I'm not going to listen anymore, that I have to only have my high frequency when I pray. That's part of the dark energy keeping us down, keeping us separated, telling us, oh, you can only do this in church or temple or on a meditation pillow.
I'd love to have lunch with you.
What was that?
I'd love to have lunch with you.
I'd love to have lunch with you. Well, come up to Boston. Well, I'll cook you a good meal. I love to cook. Oh, I'd love to have you. Yeah, but that's it. I mean, that's important. I don't want to lose that point. That is important. Why wouldn't we want to bring that energy and have access to it 24/7?
It's bringing that awareness, that mindfulness out into the everyday world, into the every moment of your life, I guess.
Rob, I'm going to tell you, I have a very hard time with the phrase mindfulness. And I think I'm the only
person. I do too.
Right. Okay. Because the work that we do is anything but engaging the mind. It's leaving the mind behind. It's mindlessness. We don't want the mind in this work. We want the frequency because, you know, we're in third dimensional reality. And I say this with all due respect because everybody uses that phrase. I think that's part of the whole thing as well. Oh, let's just keep the mind in it. Let's keep the brain in it. Well, no, this is energy. This is source. It's not mind. It is not brain. You cannot be in high frequency energy when you're in your thinking mind, because it's just like we live in third dimensional reality, can't go upstairs and down at the same time. We're not healthy and sick at the same time. You can't be in the brain thinking actively and be in high frequency. Now the high frequency is within you and it is always guiding and active, but we were given free will when we came into this being. And free will, for me, the definition that Spirit has told me is that free will is the choice to engage the high frequency within you or not. So when I'm engaging my high frequency, the last thing I'm doing is thinking about what I'm thinking about. So I'm just going to throw that in.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Well, Selena, tell people where they can find you, your website, what your schedule is going to be for the next 5 months or whatever.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, my website is Practical Spirituality with Selena, and that's SELINA.com. And you can go there. I have a lot of podcast interviews like ours where we talk about things as important as what we talked about today. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of information there. I also do write a blog, and my blog has important teachings that the masters ask me to share. So there's a lot of information. Okay. There. And you can also get on my newsletter and find out about our free meditations, transmission, chakra cleanse, hallways of your life, mm-hmm. all defined there. I'm going to be at the Universal Spirit Center in San Diego on, I believe, the second week. You can go on their website, Universal Spirit Center of San Diego, of March, and we're doing a weekend there. I'm going to be at the Spiritual Center in Minneapolis as well. That's also on my website. You can find those. And then we will have our community meditations as well. And then,
Cool.
You can go anywhere to get raised.
Which is really about energetic alchemy.
Which is all. There you go, Trish. Thank you. And that's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble's all over. And that's, an opportunity as well. And then I have a YouTube channel where I have a ton of videos. A lot of this podcast will be on there. And I have my pond talks. And I have different sharings that I plus. Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
Oh, this was so much fun. Time. I just love talking to you.
Yeah, that's
just terrific.
That was a very fast hour.
Well, yeah, it really was.
I enjoyed it as well. I always enjoy being with you guys. Okay. Yeah. And come for lunch anytime.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening, and stay mystical.